love you. Da 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 da. Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
It's too loud.
It is 7:50. It is 7:50 p.m. on a wonderful Monday, November the 2nd. And I am sitting virtually across from a man whose international career precedes him. He's performed on stages on the West End in Australia, in the United States. He's been to L.A. I don't think he performed there. But he has been to L.A., which is a lot. It's saying a lot for a Brit. ladies and gentlemen, huge, very big. I'm welcoming to the Amarillo Project for the first time, Callum Francis. Callum, thank you for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I've never had an Australian on the Amarillo Project before, so I feel a little crazy.
Well, hey, I'm a permanent resident here, but I'm obviously British, but that doesn't matter. I can pretend to be a citizen if you need me to be.
You can be whoever you want to be, even if that's nice for a day.
Well, it's weird because you introduced yourself and said it's a, what did you say, in Monday evening. Well, it's not here. It's Tuesday the 3rd of November here.
Well, but let's...
I am the future. Run.
Well, I never get any advice from the future anyway, so it doesn't really make a difference. Unless you could tell us, if you could have told us about how long the pandemic would have lasted and who wins this presidential election, then I would have found some type of benefit calling you.
Sadly, that information is broken.
But, so I just poured myself a glass of wine, so everyone, cheers, and welcome to season two of the Amarillo Project. This is season is called Don't Stop Me Now.
Hors d'oeuvres?
Consuela? Callum and I, if I know anybody who can quote Mean Girls and Bridesmaids more than Callum and I would pay them money to do that for us. Because we actually do them correctly. We do the impressions correctly.
Yeah, you can't see what we're doing, but Eva did a really good, like kind of a swivel with her finger.
Yeah, it's very important.
Consuela, hors d'oeuvres, it's part of it.
And
it's
like dessert is out.
Part where she talks, where she says, what did she say? I messed it up. And she's like, when she picks the dog up, which quote is that? Oh, no, it's the part where she's like, does this have alcohol in it?
Oh, God, no,
and she
honey.
Looks, and she kind of half blinks. Oh, God, hey, no, I said I'm a little thing. Blink. Why do you want a little bit? Because if you want to drink, I'd rather drink it in my house.
Honestly, it's the delivery. But it's actually kind of great that you're available today because on the Amarillo Project, we talk a lot about, you know, things that might seem simple to the human eye, but to the human heart, we just love to complicate things. And one of them, especially right now during the pandemic, is self-sufficiency. So I figured I would just ask you a few questions about how you, I guess, navigate your own self-sufficiency. And the first question would be, talk about what it really means to be there for yourself.
I think it's very, 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 I said very important to be there for yourself because you're kind of your one constant, I would say.
Mm.
In this life, in this like one life we get to lead, you are your one constant. There are things that will always be there, like taxes and deaths and blah, 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 but we are there throughout. And if we don't kind of get on with ourselves, it just makes it a lot harder. And I'm aware that it's easier said than done. You and I obviously have various talks for years about the subject. I think it's really difficult to do. And I've seen how difficult it is to do. And also during this time, I wouldn't say that I struggle with anxiety and I struggle with depression. I haven't. And I'm lucky that I haven't. But this time, this 2020, this horrible year that everyone's had, You do. You kind of see the different side to yourself. And I think, I hope, coming out of this, that people see what mental health issues really are, and see how hard they are for people, and see how wrong it is to just say, you'll be fine.
I think one of the things too that makes it difficult for, like, for me, for example, I'm with a partner who doesn't suffer with as heavy as mental health issues as I do. So one of the things that I can only imagine makes people who don't experience the turmoil inside as much as people who do, they look at them and they go, why are you still in that mood? Why are you stuck in that funk? And depending on for self-dependency, which is the first topic I want to talk about, is depend, like, you use your strength when you're at your weakest. And it's like, how do you actually do that? When I'm at my weakest, I go inwards. Like, I self-deflect, I self-sabotage, I push people who love me away because I feel like I'm burdening them. And, like, it's almost like if I'm a dark cloud, if they go near me, they become a dark cloud. And it's like, I project on everyone to go, I'm bad, and you all see me as bad, which means I should go away.
One thing that I think you forget on that subject is like attracts like. I'm a massive mm-hmm. believer in that. I'm not religious, I'm not anything like that, but I believe that there's something out there, there's a network in the universe where like attracts like. And if you think that you're a dark cloud, that you're going to spread that dark cloud to someone who loves you, for example, you're kind of right. Maybe you will. I do that. I can get people's personalities and they'll brush on me and I'll become a bit negative. But then you also have to think about, which I've tried to say to you, you have to think about, if someone's coming to you while you're a dark cloud in a positive way, what's to say that they're not going to rub off on you?
That's true. What's to say
like isn't going to brighten that dark cloud?
Yeah, that is very true.
Which, I will preface that again with, if you've got the red mist, what I call, if the red mist has descended, you can't see past that.
Your definition of red mist is different than on America, because the red mist to me is a period.
That's gross.
We encourage different topics here on the Amorio Project, so.
Well, the red mist is like, I that's like my bad mood.
Mm.
So.
So technically, your period. It's your menstruation.
My period over my eyes.
That's gross.
That's disgusting.
Is it? There's also that thing of, like, having the willpower of changing or altering what your situation is in your head. So when somebody said, like, what do you do when you feel like there's no light at the end of the tunnel? And I said to this person, and I felt like Gandhi, I said, well, maybe you are the light. And they were like, oh my God. And I honestly, like, I said that out of, like, in, like, that was my instinct to say that. But I really did feel like that. And it's like, we have to sometimes give our light back to ourselves and change the image of yourself. So picturing your problem, that it's like, it's in the palm of your hand, and then closing your hand slowly. It's like the problem, even though it feels big, I want to make it small. Even starting there, like, really showing up for yourself.
The inspirational quotes that are kind of a cliche to say and annoying to hear, but they're inspirational quotes for reasons. They make sense. The whole, like, just because you're having a bad day doesn't mean you're having a bad life. As stupid as that sounds, it's really, you break it down, it's completely valid.
Yep.
It's completely valid. And my favorite is, you don't know how strong you are until being strong is your only choice.
Mm. Oh, I like that a lot.
And it's so true. It is so true.
There's an amazing author, American inspirational speaker, lawyer, life coach, and she's on Oprah's Super Soul Sunday quite a lot.
Isn't that a character from that mother and daughter TV program?
Are you going to say Gilmore Girls?
Gilmore Girls.
I hate you. No, her name's Iyanla Van Zandt.
And, oh, okay, the signal went funny. I thought you said something like Lorelai.
No, not Lorelai Gilmore. I actually have a lot of problems with Lorelai Gilmore. We can actually totally break that down in another podcast. But she has this amazing quote. She has like written so many incredible inspirational books, but one of her quotes is, "Your willingness to look at your darkness is what empowers you to change." And I actually obviously have written that down on my notes here just to make sure that I don't misquote, but I do love that. Perfect leeway into number two, self-service. It's like things that you can do when you acknowledge that, yes, I'm in a funk. Yes, I'm in a depressive state. Yes, I'm triggered. It's like, what can you give yourself? I know it's hard, but you have a lot of wisdom. That's why I call you a lot, and also to bully you. But you also.
The thing is, now you've said that I have a lot of wisdom on a recorded device. So.
Well, I've just realized that, and now I'm fucking upset about that.
And now you delete.
And now I'm gonna delete everything.
I'm gonna start again. It's so difficult because it goes back to, we just mentioned it prior. It goes back to allowing yourself to have that clear mindset to go, okay, I'm going to get up, I'm going to do this, and it's going to be fine. But it's getting there. Because if you're deep, deep in this funk, it's hard to do that. I spent most of this year in a place called Bathurst, which is in country, New South Wales, here in Australia, with my soon-to-be in-laws, and they're absolutely wonderful. Ainsley and I, my partner and I, were supposed to move back to New York in February, and obviously everything happened, so we couldn't. So we ended up, I say we were stranded there. We weren't stranded, we just decided to stay. But it was my first kind of country experience for a long time. And not all country Australia, I will say that. It's not all like this, but parts can be a little bit, in no disrespect, uneducated.
Yeah.
So being an openly gay black man there was difficult. And this was kind of, this year was my first experience with getting myself out of these funks and making myself do something. Which, again, is difficult to do, but it sounds so silly to say, but I watched a interview with Kristen Bell about her character of Anna in Frozen 2. I can't even believe I'm discussing this.
I can't actually believe that you're bringing this up.
Like, and have you seen it, where she's talking about...
I've not seen Frozen 2 yet.
Okay, so you'll like this then. So there's a song in it called Do the Next Right Thing. And there's a part in the film where, like, Elsa and Olaf or something bad happens, but they've made this song about Kristen's experience with depression and how she would get out of it and how she got out of it. And she said it was always just think of what I need to do next to get to the next point. And she said, even if it's just as small as, okay, you can't feel like you can get out of bed, sit up. Sit up and put your legs out of the bed. And then she was like, okay, so what's next after this? What's the next right thing to do? Get up, stand up. And it's that's breaking it down where you're in a real bad place and it's tiny, tiny baby steps. But I watched it and I was like, that is so brilliant. Like, just literally you just do the next right thing.
Yeah, that's it's a good like way of putting it, though.
And it's that the next right thing doesn't have to be, okay, I'm going to sit and I'm going to write something and then I'm going to go for a walk. That's too much for your brain to kind of break down. It's not about what you're going to be doing in an hour. It's literally what you're going to be doing in the next 30 seconds.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
If that's getting a coat and going for a walk, then so be it. And I think that whilst I was there and not surrounded by my own things, living out of a suitcase and just that 2020 had thrown at me, I was like, I need to find something. I threw myself into training. I bought a gym equipment and put it in the yard, and that was my thing, because I found, being the kind of person I am, I needed something that I was in control of.
Yeah, absolutely.
I could choose as and when I was going to work out.
Yeah.
If I didn't want it, then I chose not to. So that helped me. And then I'd FaceTime you and I'd FaceTime friends to just talk nonsense for an hour, because that always helps. And forgive me for saying this, but when you're in your funks and I try to ring you and I send you a message and you ignore it, and then I send you a message again on purpose because I know what's happening. It's about that. It's about allowing your humans as well to realize that you're in a funk, and to, even if you say, I just want to be on my own for a little bit, sometimes ignoring them, sometimes knowing that they're just too deep in.
Yeah.
You know, your tribe and your chosen family, I think, are the beacons in all of this.
Abso-fuck.
I'm your beacon.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't. I can just now. I'm picturing you as this lighthouse, like, and then this, like, your face is the light, like, right? And the second it sees, the second you see my boat, I just see you do your face, and the light cuts out. Do you know what I mean? I hate it.
I wish you could see the
Callum. I know. I wish you guys could see his face. Honestly, it could be a gif.
I wish I was on a swivel chair as well.
Actually, the more I think about what that would look like, I actually get a little scared. It's like,
it's actually quite creepy.
It's actually terrifying.
Because if you just square my face off.
But it's like I just want to put, like, draw on your face, like, you, like, with the mouth open, it being the light, because your eyes do this thing.
If anyone's listening to this that can draw, find a photo of me and turn me into a lighthouse.
Actually, I'm gonna make sure I mark that if there's a thumbnail for this episode, that I will draw it myself, and it will be brilliant.
It's gonna be
horrid. I do love too how you have this incredible way of, like, I wouldn't say forcing positivity, but it's kind of like wearing a smile, not to be over the top, but wearing a smile so that you can invite that in. You were saying that before, like, what did you say, like, you invite the like, what did you say, some wise
like
shit.
Attracts like.
Yeah, like attracts like, which I love. I actually wrote something on my notes the other day on the way to a thing, and I was like really going through it, and I wrote these six things down. I said, Eva dot dot dot, because I have to speak to myself. If it isn't serving you, let it go. Speak so often in positivity that the positivity protects you. Soften your frown line so you don't feel tempted to live there. I wrote those. Well, I had six, but the others are a little embarrassing. They're a little too personal.
Okay. Thank you. Just whisper them.
but we I've known Callum though since we did Miss Saigon in what year was it? 2014. And I actually have first time I met him, I was like, oh, he's this, like, serious actor with huge hair, and, like, you know, he's very And I thought, oh, here he is. He's going to be wise and, you know, telling me what, you know, and it ended up being the exact opposite. He ended up giving me the worst advice. No, I'm joking. I mean, if there are any times in my career where I thought I was going to get fired from something I did on stage, it always was connected to Callum.
I was probably, like, the nucleus of that.
You were the nucleus of all of my turmoil at the Prince Edward Theatre. but those were some fun times. I mean, talk about beacon, like, a part of serving yourself is making sure that the people in your life, like, really have your back.
Yeah, that was, like, bizarre, isn't it? Because if you think about it, like, without that show, we never would have probably met. Like, I know it sounds so silly, but it's...
Oh, absolutely not. You would have seen me in the street and gone, no.
Helped each other.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, I'm not sure. In those situations, certain little things, I'm a bit like, oh, I'm not sure who would have helped if it wasn't you. Do you know what I mean?
No, I know exactly what you mean. And that's the beauty of, I guess, the connections we make.
Can't see because my hair really needs a cut.
You know what? I'm glad that they can't see me because I didn't take a shower last night because I was too tired. Had to wake up early to go to work. And now I'm sitting here. I feel like a dog. I feel like an actual dog.
You look like a dog.
Well, I feel like a little bitch. That was actually quite good. Okay, so here's my impersonation of Patrick Page's dog, Georgie, in the dressing room.
That's really
Thank you.
Bizarrely accurate.
I know. It's so spot on. I'm really good at impersonations too, but my rule is I don't do them in front of the person, because I don't want them, I don't want to get in their heads, if you know what I mean.
There was, I've never actually heard my impression, and I'm curious, but...
Well, it's an impression slash physicality. I do a physicality with it as well.
I do like, John John and Alistair's.
My John John's brilliant.
John John's unreal. It's really sad. In case he listens, you can't do it, but it's pretty good.
Oh, I can play this though. Watch. He will die. He's gonna die that I played this on my podcast, but no one listens to this, so...
no one listens to you.
So, this is John John.
What? You're teaching who? How to say your mother's vagina? Anyway, you say it like this. Puki ng ina mo. Puki ng ina mo. Puki ng ina mo. Puki ng ina mo. Hey, sus, Ginoo. Love you.
Like, that's the kind of person that you need in your life, that you send a message like that, and they go, what? Here's the answer anyway.
That is why all of my friends, if I think of all of my friends, that is what it's like. It's like, but it's also people who know me so well. It's like, on that, oh my God. And it's one of those, and same with what we're talking about, self-service, the tough love. Like, what can I do for myself in a time of struggle where I'm like, I need to get out of the funk. Sometimes it's a thing of like, okay, do you want to sit in the funk? Do you have something to learn? Or do we need a tough love kick in the ass? It's time to
As
get
you
up.
You know, I'm a very tough love kind of human.
Absolutely, yes, you are.
I've broken a door down, remember, in your dressing room once. That was how I was, because you wouldn't let me in the bathroom.
Oh my God. I actually forgot about that. You literally...
Yeah, I'm that kind of person. That's my personality.
Well, that's not hard for you to do because you're very strong.
I'm very strong. Not as strong as Tim.
No. Shout out to Timothy Hughes for just being very tall and handsome.
For just being this huge, big tree that Callum is fond of.
I am going to climb that like a tree.
I'm going to climb it. No, ever.
Kind of pinballed down.
But no, just in a lot of decks for a lot no. And I met a dolphin down there, and he spoke to me.
I'm assuming telepathically, he looked me in the eyes, in the goddamn eye, Annie. He said, I'm going to save you, Megan.
God. Fucking Paris?
Do you maybe want to go for a walk later? Oh, no.
Say you don't have a husband.
Dad, get rewind. You don't have a husband. When she goes, no, wait one more. When she goes, I have an idea. Pixar themed. Everybody comes dressed as their favorite Pixar characters. Female fight club. She gets here, we grease up. She doesn't, we beat the shit out of her.
She walked in.
That poor girl in there, Lillian's probably in there bawling her fucking eyes out. Sorry, I could literally quote the whole thing.
I don't even know where we went. We were onto a subject, and then we lost.
We were talking about tough love, how you're strong.
Oh, and that's where Tim came in.
Yeah, you started the tangent. Tangents are very encouraged on the Amadeo Project.
And now this is a new spin-off called the Tim Tangent.
And it goes on forever.
It goes on forever, but that's a different podcast. Yeah, I'm a pretty tough love kind of human. People don't like it. I also know with my friends and my humans, I know how far I can push it.
Yeah.
I know how far I can, like with you, for example, if you say about how something to do with your weight or something to do with your how attractive you are, I know that I joke about them. I will call you horrible names as a joke. But I only joke because I know that they're ridiculous. Do you know what I mean?
You also joke because you know humor is a pacifier to both of us.
Yeah. And, like, as you know, humor is literally... humor has gotten me through my entire career and through my entire life. It has to. I've always been and always will be the class clown, even when there's no class. I'm just like that. So when it comes to comforting and all that stuff, I do it in my way that it's tough love with a smile.
Yeah.
I'm like a smiling assassin.
That's you are a smiling assassin. That's a good way to, that's a good
way to... My headphone
way
is more than nice. Does that mean it's dying?
What did it make? It sounds like a death to me.
It's still here. So
Callum once gave me the responsibility of personally rectifying a situation at a bar. It's a famous bar in London called Freedom. And me saying it, if you know the club and you've been there, you would have probably just now experienced shivers down your spine. And you'll smell the sticky couches of Cosmopolitans and whiskey spilled all over the Jameson spilled all over the floor. But we got into a bit of a tussle in the club, and I pushed a girl over.
What it was, you're making it sound like we caused the trouble.
No, we didn't. It was her fault.
Was very drunk and tried to get on a pole that Eva was on. So I, being me, was like, oh, you're drunk. And then her husband didn't like the fact that I'd said she
No, but you also forgot that she spilled her drink all over your shirt.
She did on my shoulder.
She literally spilled her wine on your shoulder, and you looked at me and you said, I can't do anything about it, you know, and I said, excuse
me.
She scratched you, and then I said, excuse me, can you say sorry? She put her two fingers on my forehead and said, fuck you, like pushed my forehead, and I said, touch me again, I will fuck you up. And
anyway, it all died down and everyone had a lovely night. However, she didn't. Eve and I were leaving, she was on the floor outside with her husband, like, just very drunk and crying.
Callum took a picture, because that's what a good person does, and we have it now.
I did take a picture.
We have it now, and I actually, after this podcast, we'll save that picture as the profile picture for whenever Callum gives me a call, just to reminisce.
What happened if she was listening to it?
Well, that's karma. I hope if you're listening to it and you remember, you must be thinking about the fact that you were being very naughty.
I pointed at my shoulder and was like, hey, you spilled my drink. And she put her claws into my shoulder and then pulled them down my arm. I have beautiful skin.
Beautiful skin. Beautiful skin. New shirt. Who wears a new shirt to Freedom? That's another judgment of their own.
That's another team.
I used to shop at Dorothy Perkins, and I was proud of that.
Did you actually?
I used to, yeah. I bought my first Chelsea boot.
Of that.
You're not a fan.
I'm sorry. I never knew that. I'm sorry. This is new information to me.
My first year living my style was pea coats, really thick leggings, and sweaters that were a little too long, and a nice thick Chelsea boot. That was my look.
I just haven't thought of Dorothy Perkins in years. Like, I've lived here for 4 years now, and it still tickles me that the one English store that made it over here is Nine West.
What?
The shoe store?
I thought that was an American store.
Oh, is it there as well?
Yeah, we have Nine West here. I swear to God, that's like an American, that's like a 90s, I feel like 90s supermodels loved Nine West.
Well, I hate it. Dorothy Perkins.
Oh, you love that. Do you remember the one on Tottenham Court Road in Charing Cross?
Like, oh, I remember them all. They all look exactly the same.
I loved it. I loved going in there. I loved the sale. Hiya. Let me know if you need anything. Loved it. They're all so kind. Hey, yeah, we're having a sale. What size, love?
No, I just love it.
Okay, anyway. One more question on number two, then we'll move to the last topic. So, for you personally, because you're an amazing friend, for you personally, though, when you feel like you are in the funk and you're on the way out of the funk, do you tend, are you more of a creative person? Do you tend to think about what you're going to do? Do you think about what you're going to think? How do you process through, I guess, the fog mentally?
I'm getting better at talking about it.
Ooh, like, yeah.
I've chatted to Ainsley, my partner, a lot more, which I never used to do. I used to just talk to myself about it, it works for some people. I don't think it does for me.
Yeah.
Because clearly I can't stop talking, so why would I stop when I needed to? it's a tricky one. I'm a creative person. I like to, not a creative when it comes to necessarily the art, but I like crafts. To do things. I like to get hands on and do all that. I started making, as you know, earrings and what's the other thing?
Plant holders. Cool. I was like,
this is real fun.
But they're also beautiful.
They're very pretty. I'm fond of them. I like to do stuff like that. It's things to occupy my mind, and it could be anything. I think it could honestly even be cleaning the house. Like, I feel like when you're in a mood, you clean your house better anyway.
That's true, because you're so particular about what, like, getting the nooks and crannies and, you know, making sure everything smells and looks good.
I'm going to attempt to swap this headphone.
Do it while I do a shameless artist of the week plug. So Callum's business that he's launched during the pandemic is called macra_mate, and you can find them on Instagram, and they have a direct link to the shop, and they sell beautiful earrings. As he was saying, I have several pairs myself. Honestly, I get so many freaking compliments about them, and you can wear them, I feel like you can wear them summer all year round, because I got a lot of compliments with my summer dresses, but also I feel like you can wear them in the winter as well. They're very seasonal, but also he sells, like he was saying, plant hangers.
What are they called? Macrame plant holders.
Are they called macrame? Not macrame.
Macrame, that's what.
That's from, yeah. That's doing a shameless plug. But they're on Instagram. You can find their website on there. And yeah, he sends it really quickly, so now you're going to get an influx. But it's beautiful stuff.
Rolling ballot. Good. I went there.
You went there.
But I think creative people are just anything to make your brain just to not think about whatever is negative.
Yeah.
It's again, easy said than done. I know I keep saying that like a broken record, but it is. But if you get 1%. That is bright as opposed to the other 99. Like, you hold on to it and you have to, because it's going to grow. It's going to, yeah. I'm not really making any sense.
No, you are. You're just saying to hyper focus sometimes on, even if it's a simple thing, like when you take a sip of water or coffee or like a glass of wine, like to really sit with your body and let everything be about that sensory experience in the moment. It's science. Mm-hmm.
I've never been like you're different to I am, where you'd like a glass of wine. I'm not saying you're an alcoholic, but you go, oh, I just need a glass of wine. I don't think I've ever needed a glass of wine.
See, that's good. You'll be proud of me though. I've been barely drinking over the past 3 weeks. Like, I had a margarita last night.
I don't get me wrong, I drink.
Oh, well, you drink in moderation, which is great. I feel. Right? Am I lying?
I don't drink a lot, but when I drink, I try to forget my own name.
I once actually did, and I signed up for something online when I was drunk, and I did Maria Noblezada. Like, I completely forgot that my actual name is Eva, and I literally typed in, like, first name Eva, last name Noblezada.
Okay, my headphone died.
That's fine. We have one more.
Okay. The sound might be different.
Oh, that's fine. The sound's here. Just have to turn the gain up a little bit, and then we're absolutely fine. So the last one is how to honor yourself. So Another amazing quote by Ianla is, the only way to get what you really want is to let go of what you don't want. And there are ways that I think, like, I feel like if we, in ways that I want to honor myself, people think of it as selfish, you know, saying no. Really, like, if I want to sit in bed for a day and I have nothing to do, sit in bed. I don't have to wake up and be productive in order to, like, get out of my depressed state. So, like, for you, what are some ways?
As long as you're not lay there in a depressed state. Obviously you are, but as long as you're not lay there constantly beating yourself up.
No, of course. You're
taking it as a day of rest.
A day of rest, a day of replenishment. So, for you, mm-hmm. what are some ways that, I guess, like, ways that you honor yourself and honor, I guess, like, even your journey, like, it doesn't have to be like a big thing, but just honoring where you are in the moment.
Yeah, it's just that it's like I wish I knew the definition of honor right now, but I imagine it's basically just that, isn't it? You have to, when you just said you say no to things, and you have to know your worth.
Yeah.
I'm not talking like career or like money or anything when it comes to jobs or anything like that. I'm talking just as a person. You know your worth. And I watched an incredible on Netflix. Have you seen David Letterman's season where he's David Letterman interviewing random people?
Yeah,
I think. He always interviews a different celebrity. There's a new season that's out, and he interviews Lizzo. I know some of Lizzo's music. I'm a fan, but I am now a fan anyway after watching that, but I didn't really know a lot about her and all stuff like that. So I watched it the other day, and the way she speaks about herself is so unbelievable. Like, it's amazing. Like, I've watched it since 3 times. Not all of it, but I've skipped to the part where she's talking about herself.
Yeah.
And she's talking about her talent and what she can do. And she's like, I'm crazy talented. I know I can do this, this, this. And I'm going to continue doing this, 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 because people love to hear it.
Hmm.
And it's really just amazing, because I imagine people would watch that and go, oh, she's very arrogant. But yeah. It's absolutely not. Like, she's just praising herself in a way that everyone should speak in. It's not in an ego way. It's in a way of knowing that this is who she is and this is why she should speak that way.
Yeah.
And she has a thing that she does after every live show where she gets the audience to tell themselves that they love themselves, and then they tell her that they love her, and it's like this ritual that she does. And it was just so amazing to watch.
I love that.
And I used it. I used it the other week when I was doing a concert that I'd not sang in ages, and naturally my dad's kind of came up. And I was just a bit like, what would Lizzo do? And it's so funny because, like I said, wasn't even a massive fan, but I would urge anyone to go and find that episode of David Letterman.
I want
to
watch that now.
Yeah, it's so, you should absolutely watch it, because she speaks about her body and her size, and she's like, I'm not working out to be the size that you want or that you like. I'm working out to be my body size.
Yeah.
Whatever I feel comfortable with, that's what. I'm not working to be slim
no.
or skinny or whatever. I'm just working to me. And then she said that people would always say to her, like, good for you for just, like, congrats on just living you. And
she's congrats. Like,
well, you're congratulating me.
Yeah.
I'm literally just living. Like, this is my body. Like, it's not, I'm not being a warrior by walking around being overweight or anything. I'm just living.
It's
Why
just,
are you congratulating me?
We've been so conditioned that about what beauty is. And honestly, a way to honor yourself is to not listen to the, or at least to not let the opinions of others affect the way that you are and that you, who you want to be. Mm-hmm.
My advice to you, as Eva Nobazada, Eva Maria Nobazada.
Ella Maria Nobazada Casadilla, Alfonso Casado, también.
Is, you're like, I mean, look, this podcast is brilliant, and you talk about things that people don't usually talk about and all that stuff, but one thing that you're not amazing at, but you are amazing, is practicing what you preach.
Yes.
Because you give so much stuff to other people, and I've seen comments, and I've seen what people say, and how you help them through everything you do, and I wish that you hadn't either, because at times I would say, I'll say these things to you, and it's things that you said to other people, but for some reason, when you're in your funk, you can't see that.
That is true. I am better than I was last month, and it. It was one of those things where it's what is that? I can't sing either. I try. I'm like, I can't even sing anymore. It's one of those things. What is it called? Where in Japan they have this amazing thing where if they break something, that they put in like they fill the cracks of like pottery with gold because nothing goes to waste. And I do have a warped view of myself, but it doesn't mean that that has to be the definition of how I live my life. It can just be something that I once thought. You're right, I do have that. And I love how unabashedly herself Lizzo is. And I love, there's so many celebrities that are like that. And that's what I love about my friends, you know? Like, everybody that I know and love is so themselves. They're so present in themselves.
I always say, if I ever go and speak to, like, school or the young generation, I always say, and because of Kinky Roots is a big part of my life for like what 4 years, and the message of that like is just ingrained in me, as it should be in everyone. But it's like, if we were all the same, I always say, if we were all the same, the world would be a very boring place, which is very not shallow, but it's not a deep and meaningful message. It's just a matter of fact,
and
it's true, and it's about enjoying our differences. And 2020, if it's taught us anything, is that we actually are all incredibly different, that we're not all on the same team, and that's fine. I mean, it's not fine to be racist, homophobic, all of the above, but it's fine to be different. And I think that's what we have to do to honor yourself. You have to look in the mirror and enjoy what you see and realize that someone else might not look like this, but it's fine because you look like this, and you're you, and it's as simple as that.
I guess one last question is, what have you, in this exact present moment, what is something that is beautiful that you've taken away from this time of the pandemic and everything going on in the world?
I realize how lucky I am to be marrying into a very incredible family. I have an incredible family already, but I got to spend 8 months in the pocket of my new in-laws, my new parents, who are incredible people that were willing to learn so many different things through the Black Lives Matter movement. That just was never a part of their life, and then suddenly they have this person of color who's their son-in-law, and just seeing their willingness to educate themselves to change the mistakes and things that they say, because we all say them. And you know, I think just realizing how lucky we are and how bad things can get. My grandma had COVID, my mom had COVID, my dad has it as we speak, and they're all, touch wood, they're all fine, recovered and recovering. And it's like, we've all been tested this year, but the best part about it is that we're all getting out of it slowly but surely. It's different over there, I'm aware of, it's very different to what it's like here and even in the UK, but yeah, I just feel very lucky. I've always been grateful, but I feel like, and I guess I feel like I've got to know myself more. I mean, I'm 32. I thought I knew myself quite a bit, but I didn't.
I don't know if I want to know you more.
I would like our relationship to end after.
The second I press the space bar and it stops recording the audio, I will never call you again.
I will ambush you and then never speak to you again.
I was going to do a quote from... I will probably end with a quote from Bridesmaids.
I think we should end with the story of myself kneeling with my back to the audience as a GI in Miss Saigon, facing the gates during the nightmare scene. Oh my god. If you don't know what the nightmare scene is, it's where the helicopter lands. And Eva running forward. Ugh. And I'm on my knees with a gun back to the audience. And everyone's screaming because it's dramatic. And I say,
I get lifted. First off, I get lifted. I'm in the air. Lifted. A John Reynolds is lifting me. My line is, listen, someone, my husband is waiting inside. And he pulls me back. I'm reaching forward. Callum's back. This motherfucker's back is to the audience. Just
before she sings.
Yep, just before I sing.
And I say, why don't I know you? Like Regina says to Katie Harron when she's in the canteen. And Eva looks at me like confused. And I'm like,
and
then she says, you do it. You do what you find.
I said, whilst trying to be serious, I said, listen, someone, my husband is waiting in. And I put my head down. I don't finish the line. The spotlight's still on me. And in that moment, I knew I was getting the pink slip. I just knew.
And I'm like, I just kind of froze. I got a shiver down my spine. And I was like,
I pushed her too far. Oh, what was worse, in my opinion? If Callum and I had not had that rehearsal of you going on as John before you went on, we would have absolutely been fucked. Because, I look at Callum's, we look at each other's face already, we're like, it's almost like we know what we're thinking. To the person singing, but Callum.
I've never been able to read minds. Now I can.
I woke up one morning and poof, there it was. But Callum goes on for this scene with me as John, and it's this the song Please, or Too Much for One Heart. And Callum's sitting down, he starts singing, I'm not here as a friend. We couldn't even make it past that.
That's all I sang. I'm not here as a friend. I have a job to do. And then it stopped.
But then you're trying. You were trying, and I could hear it. I could hear like the, trying to get it out. And then my turn. Please tell me everything. And we just hear JP going, keep going. You've got it. Keep going. It took us a while. My trick is to bite my tongue so hard I draw blood.
You're not well.
I'm not well, mate. Macrame. And on that note, you can find macrame_mate on Instagram, where their whole stuff. But I guess a good way to wrap this one up is, I know this is in precedence to the election tomorrow and finding the results, maybe not tomorrow, but in a few days. And America, let alone the world right now, is kind of awaiting, waiting with bated breath with, I guess, the circumstance of COVID. And hopefully with season two of the Amadeo Project, we can really sit and even like put a microscope on these things that kind of cross our brains every day. And also have a laugh, because laughter is medicine. And so is alcohol, but only to people who can handle it.
Do you know what is medicine? Medicine.
You know what is medicine? NyQuil. Your kids aren't going to sleep? NyQuil.
Joking. You're the one in the UK. Night
Nurse. Ew! I remember, what's the card thing that Dale sung on? The card thing. The card.
Dale?
Remember Dale?
I don't know who Dale is.
Dale Evans. You know who Dale is.
Yeah, I know who Dale is.
But he did. He sung the ditty for a card store. He sung it.
I didn't know that.
Oh, no. Because I had it on the tip of my tongue. Ba-da-bow! Ba-da-bow! Callum's partner was in Aladdin.
Like me.
I know.
Where is this even going?
But Callum, thank you for coming on to the Amadeo Project.
Thank you for having me.
You can find he is on Instagram and Twitter, right? Or just Instagram?
Yeah, I just use Instagram.
He's on Instagram. And also, you wouldn't want to read what he's thinking, even if he was on Twitter.
Why would you want
to? Why would you want to? You don't have a husband. I'm sorry. But guys, thank you so much. I hope that you guys take away from this episode the importance of sitting with yourself, having those conversations about what self-sufficiency is for you, especially if you're quarantining by yourself, if you're in the UK and I know you guys are going through another lockdown come Thursday for 4 weeks, and I hope that you guys find things in your life that keep you holding on to your holding on to yourself. You have the power to be your own anchor, and you don't need validation from others. You need liberation from yourself. So any way you can find that, that's the magic. That's the key. But wow, he's very flexible. God, I couldn't even tell you what he's doing because he's such a nasty bitch. Anyway, guys, we love you so much. And again, artist of the week is Callum's business, macra_mate. You can find him on Instagram. And you can find Callum on Instagram, but give the business a follow, why not him? That's just funnier that way. Thank you so much. And we will see you next week for episode 2 of season 2 of Don't Stop Me Now on the Amadio.